Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you develop a star mindset? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here, helping you to achieve your full potential 5 days a week. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about the difference between good companies and truly great companies. But first, don't forget to visit leadx.org, where you'll find hundreds of articles from the best business and career writers out there. And sign up for our quick read newsletter, which is packed with actionable tips you can try out right away. That's leadx.org. Our guest today is one of the world's leading management thinkers and consultants. His Fortune 500 clients have saved literally billions of dollars by deploying his process improvement methodologies. He is the chairman and CEO of ASI Consulting Group, and his new book is already a USA Today bestseller. It's called The Difference, When Good Isn't Enough. Our guest is Subir Chowdhury. Subir, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm excited to have you on, and we're going to talk about the difference in just a minute. But first, will you share with our listeners a time when you actually failed, maybe early in your career, and what was a lesson that you learned from it?
One of the challenge I had was when I first joined as an industrial engineer at General Motors and GM in Detroit, Michigan. So initially, as an industrial engineer, that your job is to how to make the assembly line much more effective and much less people. So my first job was to kind of cut some workers on the assembly line. And it was such a challenge because, you know, as soon as you walked in as an industrial engineer, the first thing they look at it, at all the workers look at you as saying that you are going there to cut their job. So initially, I literally failed and I could not come up with a design, because how can you design something without knowing what is happening within that assembly process? So even though I learned everything on the book, but in real life is not about engineering. In real life, is engineering and manufacturing is done by the people. So initially, I miserably failed because I don't know what the secrets are, right? Then what I did was, what I learned from that was, at the end of the day, if I really wanted to become successful in business or in my career, I have to concentrate on people, not on the process or not on the engineering talent, even though I have the best school's engineering degree. So from that experience, what I've done is understand from them, and they taught me about the car production. Then I became a better engineer because these are the people, these are the workers who taught me what is the nuts and bolts of engineering. Once I learned from them, then I redesigned the whole assembly line and made it much more effective.
It is always about the people. That is a great lesson.
Yes.
It reminds me, Subir, of there was two times come to mind in my own experience. The first time I had sold one of my companies, it was into a larger company with many offices around the United States. And they acquired about 12 companies in 12 months. So there were many of us, new partners, new companies coming in. And to me, and it was just natural, I don't know how I knew to do it, but within the first 30 days when the deal closed, I just flew to all the different offices and had a cup of coffee or tea with the different partners to say hi, learn about what they did. And it was just to start that relationship. About 2 months after that, they did a firm-wide election to pick partners to put on the CEO's operating committee. Now, there were partners there that had more stock, more shares of the company, who had been there for 10 years. I'd been there 2 months. And I got voted onto the operating board, and the longtime people did not. And it caused quite a ruckus, if you can imagine, among the partnership. And I knew that the only reason why was because there were all these new partners that were coming in, and I was the only one that took the time to go say hello. I wasn't running for the office. I wasn't electioneering. It was just being friendly. And yet I saw the power that that gesture had. It was amazing. So Subir, your new book is The Difference, When Good Isn't Enough. And I love the opening of your book. It's a question. It says, If you saw a toothpick on the floor of your office or home, what would you do? Now, what's the relevance of the toothpick?
Thank you for asking me that question. So one day, you know, in the morning, very like I had a meeting at 8 a.m. in the morning of a Fortune 100 company, vice president of quality of a very large automotive manufacturing company. And as soon as I walked in his office, he looked at me and the first question he asked me was, what do you do if you find a used toothpick on the floor? And I looked at him and I said, hey, what's going on, man? So I kind of asked him, I said, what kind of question is that? Why are you asking me this stupid question? He looked at me, he said, no, Shubhir, it's not a stupid, it's a very, very important question. Can you please answer? So I said, okay, hey, before I answer, I wanted to ask you, I said, yesterday, the JD Power report came out. I understand your company did not do that well. Is your boss is very upset with you or what's going on? And he said, Shubhir, no, it's nothing to do with that. I think we have much bigger problem. He said, you have been helping us on saving millions of dollars and helping us to make our process better and everything. But I think our problem is much deeper. So I said, what is that? He said, that's why I asked you the question. I said, if I find a used toothpick, obviously I'll pick it up and put it in the dustbin. He said, isn't it true that you always put the used toothpick on the dustbin? He said, let me tell you something. Today I went to my secretary, asked the same question. And she said she'll put it in the dustbin. I asked my direct reports. They told me the same thing. And here I am. I had a 6 a.m. morning meeting with my CEO. And when I'm coming out after the meeting, I found a used toothpick. And I just picked it up. And I was just looking at the toothpick. And I was just thinking, that means maybe somebody had a meeting with the boss before and maybe got mad or whatever and put the toothpick on the floor. And then he looked at me and he said, Shubhir, if I can find a used toothpick in my organization's floor, like just within 10 or 15 feet of my CEO's office, that tells me why our quality is not good, why we are not doing good in JD Power. That means there might be thousands of toothpicks in all facets of the organization. So the point he was making is that at the end of the day, if you can have the best process in place, but if your people does not have the caring mindset, then process alone will not do it. And let me tell you why I say that. When I have been hired by, suppose for the sake of discussion, two same size company of the same industry, and one is getting 10x return, another one is getting 100x return, and both of them hired me as a consultant, and they're using my process, whatever the process improvement methodology, and still one is getting only 10x return, one is getting 100x return. What is the difference? Why is that? And initially, I thought that maybe my processes are flawed. Then after the lot of analysis, we find out, and the answer came to at the end of the day is the people. And the people means majority of the people has a caring mindset. On the company which is getting the 100x return, once I help them to how to solve one problem by using the processes or techniques, after that, they are on their pretty much on their own feet. They can do the next project and next project. So the same person, the knowledge is there. They can solve, you know, 5-6 problems a year. On the other company, which is getting only 5 or 10x return, majority of the people after the first project, they washed their hand. Mm-hmm. They said, "Oh my God, my boss told me to do this, this training. That's why I came over here. I got this project done. Who cares? Life moves on." So they don't think, oh my God, this is a tool I received and this is so fantastic. I solved this problem. Oh my God, I can use this tool in all my project and I can save more money for my company. They simply don't care. That's why I feel it's so critical. I don't think that organizations does a good job on employees to how to build a caring mindset from all level, from janitor to CEO. So that's what this book is all about. And as you know, in the book I talk about the definition of caring mindset, which you kind of mentioned about the STAR philosophy, which is STAR, stand for straightforward, thoughtful, accountable, and resolved.
So Shubhir, this is great stuff. And let me highlight a couple of things again for the listeners. Again, it's already coming back to the people, right? So a company, a team, you can have the right knowledge, you can have the right tools, you can have the right process. But without the caring mindset, if people don't care, then none of that is really going to matter. It's going to be very, very limited. And I often talk about and reference the the Gallup studies around employee engagement, where only about 1 out of 3 people are actually engaged at work. Only about 1 in 3 are going to care and give you that discretionary effort. So Shabir, you mentioned you've got the STAR model, which is, you know, the 4 facets of this caring mindset: straightforward, thoughtful, accountable, resolve. Tell us a little bit more about each of those. Like, what do those mean to you?
What I find is that a lot of the time, a lot of companies, a lot of the employees at all level, they're hiding information. When someone is straightforward, you respect and seek the truth, no matter how difficult it may be to hear.
Right.
Think about what you are going to lose when you or the people around you seek the easy way out because you might be very afraid to be straightforward. See, human being knows mistake can happen. But the sad part is that if you hide that information, if you are not straightforward to your colleagues, what will happen is the consequences might be very, very large. Like, think about the Takata airbag issue. Somebody knew inside of the company and it did not come to the surface. You know, I don't want to use the word dishonest, but if you lead a straightforward life, you will feel good. You will get some positive energy out of it. That's what the straightforwardness, and the reason I mentioned that, because that is one of the attributes and the key attributes of the caring mindset.
Shabir, would you agree that part of the problem is the pressure for short-term results versus long-term results? So nobody really wants to be dishonest, but if the pressure from my boss or my boss's boss or the culture is that the number one thing is to always make your quarterly numbers, then you won't be straightforward because you're kicking the pain down the road, right?
And that culture has to change. It's like you and myself will be telling our kids, hey, you need to get into the top Ivy League school. And by the way, you didn't score well. Hey, how about this? Let us forge some documents so that you can get in. Even if they get in, ultimately that truth will come out.
Right. It'll be a lot worse later.
Exactly. And that is the problem. See, that is the problem. Even in a national level, even in our government, we have the same issue. Both parties, both political parties in our country, is both Republican and Democrat. There's so many policies get passed or whatever. They know it's not right. They still do it.
They do it because the election is 6 months away or 1 year away or something like that.
You got it. But unfortunately, it was not defined by some supreme power. We have to do it that way.
Right.
So we have a choice to make, you know, what kind of life we wanted to lead. Normally, straightforward is not rewarded. But guess what? Everything I did in my whole career is being straightforward to the client. And some of the time, client got so upset, they throw me out of the room. But 2 months later, they realize and they come back and say, you know what? That consultant told me the truth and he's right. Let us bring him in. So the next element is about the thoughtful. I think, especially in the social media era, we are becoming so much of the gadget-centric. We sometimes forget about looking at the eyes to our colleagues and be thoughtful with them. Remember that story I talk about, that glass of water? I was sitting on the business class in the front row,
right,
and one of my consulting engagement and the airline, and the flight steward is serving the drink to all of us on the business class cabin. Older gentleman came in. He's sitting on the first row, and he asked for a glass of water. And the steward looked at him and he said, sir, unfortunately, in the economy class cabin, we don't serve any drink before the flight takes off. So you have to wait until then. So the older gentleman again told her, hey, look, I'm very thirsty. Give me a glass of water. And she didn't even give him an eye contact, nothing. And then one of the young men sitting in the business class immediately walked in, poured a glass of water, gave it to that older man. The point is, I posted an article about the power of a glass of water in LinkedIn. So far, more than 250,000 people around the world,
wow,
read that article, and I got almost like 11 or 12,000 likes so far. The article has been shared more than 3,000 times. And I think right now, based on this experiment I've seen, everything going on towards the world with all the negativity, all the war and everything else, people are hungry for kindness.
Right.
People are hungry for thoughtfulness. And the reason I mentioned about the thoughtfulness is, in my mind, thoughtfulness is basically a two-step process. First step is the listening. We don't do a good job as an individual in listening. We try to hear, but we don't listen. listen is much more than hearing. You know, so we have to do a much better job on listening to the other person. And once you truly listen to other person, then your empathy comes in, which is the second step. Empathy kicks in. And then you will do something about that empathy, you know. So I strongly feel that each of us as an individual, if we can offer to our colleagues a glass of water when they need it. So for an example, let me give you an example. Like after reading the Difference book, one of my clients invited me and wanted to talk with me about the difference. And he said, hey, should read this book. I loved it so much and blah, 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 blah. I said, okay. I said, did you get any message that which you are going to practice? I said, that is more important for me. So I asked him, I said, do you think that are you thoughtful to others? And he said, of course. So I said, did you recently have a vacation? And he said, yes. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I had a vacation. Then I said, okay, where do you go? What he did, he talked with me for nonstop for 15 minutes, the blast he had in the vacation, and gave me so much of positive energy of his vacation. So I listened to it. And after I listened to it, I looked at him and I said, sir, I asked you a simple question about vacation. And you asked me for a 1 hour meeting. Out of the 1 hour, you already spent 25% of your time describing your vacation. I said, that is fantastic. You gave me a lot of positivity. I said, did you even spend even a couple of minutes giving this positive energy about your vacation to your direct reports? He looked at me and he said, Shubhir, you know our organizational culture. We don't talk about personal stuff and my vacation stuff to my direct reports. That is not our culture. So I asked him, I said, sir, let me ask you another question. I said, suppose if you die someday and I came to know you died, I said, if I'm busy with another consulting engagement, do you really think that I will come to your funeral? What do you think? He said, I don't think so. I said, if I die, are you going to come to my funeral? He said, I don't think so. I said, how about this? If you die, do you think that all those colleagues who report to you, they will come to your funeral? He said, I think so. I said, are you sure? He said, I'm sure. I think they will. I said, okay. Now you're talking to me for 15 minutes about your vacation and giving me positive energy. And you are reluctant to give the positive energy to your direct report. So what is it? Is it your ego? Or do you think that because I'm a big management consultant or some big author, that's why? Or what is it? And he got the message. He was so shaken up. So I think it's very important for us to go back to show our empathy. And empathy is not about just telling them, even to talk to your direct reports and telling them, how are you? How is your family doing? How is your children's are doing? That is caring mindset.
Yeah, it's just treating people like people, right? Is in being personal. So Shubhir, we don't have a lot of time left, but touch quickly on accountable and resolve, the final two parts of the STAR framework.
Okay, accountable is much more like taking a personal responsibility. Traditionally, what I find is that, you know, if something goes wrong, we try to blame somebody else. Basically, what I'm saying is that if you work for an organization, try to help other people, try to help your colleagues and take the personal responsibility. I talk about one of my heroes, believe it or not, is a 13-year-old girl from Illinois. Her name is Trisha Prabhu. She found out that an 11-year-old Florida girl is bullied by the classmate and committed suicide. And what Trisha did, she came up with an app called Rethink. And what it does is that before anybody type anything in the cyberbullying, if you have the Rethink app installed, Rethink will tell you, are you sure you wanted to give this message? 93% of the adolescents who used the app decided not to post the hurtful message after they had the opportunity to rethink. Think about that. And that's what the personal accountability, personal responsibility. Mother Teresa gave a phenomenal quote called, do not wait for leaders, do it alone. That means if you see a problem, if you see any problem of your organization, try to stand up, try to go there and talk about it. Even if you see somebody is hiding the information, that's what the accountability is all about. And the last point is I talk about the resolve. When somebody has the resolve, someone can commit to making a change happen regardless of how difficult the challenge is. And resolve means having the passion, determination, or perseverance to find the solution to a problem or improve the situation. So think about this way. The last time when you faced a dilemma, did you do everything possible to resolve the issue? Is there anything else you might have been done? Or is there anything more you can still do. So think about it. You know, when I came to America in 1991, as soon as I landed, my graduate advisor told me, if you come 2 weeks early, we may give you a scholarship. So I came 3 weeks early. As soon as I, you know, came in, I immediately went to his office to make sure that I got the scholarship or not. And he looked at me and he said, hey, guess what? I know you came 3 weeks early. I told you to come 2 weeks early. You came 3 weeks early. That's good. But unfortunately, it's given to somebody else. Mm. I said, sir, you cannot do that. And I didn't have any money to even register. I have to go to a bank for a $200 loan, give my engineering certificate and all. But I didn't give up. And I was the first person in my whole family landed in America, first one. And I don't know anybody at that time in US. And what I did, I still immediately have the resolve and I reject that, no, this is not the American dream I came over here for. That means there is something wrong. But I'm not going to accept that wrong. And that is my first day in America. Think about it. First day in America. Guess what I did, Kevin? I went to every single department. What can I do for that department if they can give me an scholarship? After 1 week, going to 23 departments, 23rd department is the mathematics department. Long story short, I got selected for that fellowship. So the point I'm making is that nobody does that. Nobody went for the 23 departments.
Right.
And rejection after rejection after rejection, trying to convince that I need that money so badly. I need that scholarship so badly. So even everything going on in America, am I still optimistic about America? Absolutely. I really am. Because it is the mindset. If each of us have that kind of mindset, we can make it different for our nation. We can make it different for our own life. We can make it different for our organization. We can make a difference for our community. We can make a difference for our next door neighbor.
Shabir, that is a powerful message. And let's end with one more thing. I like to, you know, challenge our listeners to make a difference, to change, to get better every single day, even if it's just a tiny, you know, 1% better. So is there something specific that you can challenge our listeners, something you want them to do at work or at home, like literally today?
Okay, every single day, as soon as we wake up, we go in front of the mirror and we are brushing our teeth, right? And when you are brushing the teeth, take the pause, look yourself in the mirror, ask yourself one question. What can I do better on that day for others that you can be proud of? Doesn't matter what it is. It can be a big smile or a hug, or it can be putting your hand on the shoulder of your next colleague who might be suffering a bad disease. Whatever the case may be, try to challenge yourself every single day. Then automatically over time, you will develop the caring mindset.
Sounds like a great challenge from a process guru. Focus on making one thing better each day. And Shabir, what's the best way our listeners can find out more about you and your book?
My book is available in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores, and everywhere around the U.S. All the bookstores, even in the airports, everywhere is available. And my website address is shubhirchaudhary.com, which is spelled SubhirChaudhury.com. And then once you go to the shubhirchaudhary.com, if you wanted to write to me or send an email to me, no problem. You can tweet also at shubhirchaudhary.com. And then my company address is asiusa.com.
That's great. And listeners, as you know, you can get all of these links and notes from the interview over at leadx.org in case you didn't jot all of that down right away. And as Shabir said, look for his new book, The Difference, on Amazon.com or wherever you like to buy your books, wherever your favorite bookstore is. And listeners, before we go, one last thing. If you got even one new idea from the LeadX show, if you're getting your money's worth, and I know you are, please hop on up to iTunes or Stitcher and just leave a short, honest review for the show. It would mean the world to me. And until next time, remember, leadership isn't about a title or power or authority. It's all about influence. You influence when you step up and when you are a bystander. You influence people when you speak up, and you influence people when you're silent. So influence really isn't a choice. We are all leaders. The question is, who are you going to lead today?